Almighty God, we give thanks for this blessed day. We give thanks for so much, oh God. And you have given us your best. Lord, help us to give the world our best. May the words that I speak bring you praise, oh God, and never, never shame. Enlighten our minds, soften our hearts, and unite us that we will be your people. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. The sermon for this morning, the gift of hope. My granddaughter tells me that I need to come into the new age. With my music especially, I'm still using CDs, and she says, there are so many ways that you can put your music in, and I can help you. Well, I said, I don't want any help. I like my old-fashioned way of getting my CD, slipping it in, and especially like it when I'm traveling alone. And one of my CDs is old. I mean, it's the Waiting to Exhale CD. That movie came out, and the soundtrack came out over 20 years ago, I guess. But it's one of my favorite soundtracks of all time because the music is just, I think it's awesome. But the story, the movie, is also one of my favorites because it shows four good friends, women especially, four friends, and one has just gotten the news that she's going to get a divorce that she was not expecting. She's been a loyal, dutiful wife for 20 years, and then her husband decides that he wants to run off with his secretary. And all of her friends come together, and they're all single women, and they're struggling with issues of life and death and issues of raising families, and it makes life seem so complicated, and all they want to do is just be able to exhale, to breathe. And as it goes on, one of the things that it points to, though, is that you see them in church. You know, they're dressed to the nines, they got those big hats on, and they're in church. And so you ask, how can they get up from each struggle, bad relationships and worried about jobs, how in the world can they get up day by day and keep putting one foot in front of the other? The issue is they have hope. But this morning I want to ask you the question, where does hope come from? Where does your hope come from? We hope for many things, don't we? You hope you get a new car. Hope you got good musicians like we got. Hope you got a good spouse. Hope your car didn't run out of gas. Hope your children aren't going to be bad. So many hopeful things. But in order to hope, you've got to have a foundation. You got to have faith that what you're hoping for will happen. You got to have that faith. And the question is, as we looked at that text, it talks about the process. Having faith. And having faith does not mean that life is going to be easy. We live in a world where people want easy lives. And just about every movie has a good conclusion. 30 minutes, an hour, hour and a half. At the end, everything works out okay. At the end of the movie. But life is not a movie. Life is not a play. You don't get any dress rehearsals. And there are no do-overs. So you have to take the bitter with the sweet. And the issue with this morning is how are you able to do that? And when the storm comes, do you wither and fade, or are you able to stand firm? And why are you able to stand firm? You got those who can move in a storm and those who are frozen in the storm. Which one are you? When trouble comes a knocking, and it will come a knocking, pain and heartbreak will come to you. I wish I could stand here and tell you that if you just have enough faith and believe long enough that things are, you're not going to deal with death or debt or disease or any of the dreaded D's, divorce. If you just have enough faith, they're not going to happen, but they do happen in real time. And if you've got the gift of hope, what does it come from? And what are you basing that hope on? Especially after you get hit in the gut. You live long enough, you will get hit in the gut by something unforeseen. You go to the doctor and you're feeling like $1 million, and he tells you, well, guess what? You might not have a year. Financial difficulty, loss of jobs, loss of relationships, all of this stuff happens, and how you stand firm depends on your sense of faith and your depth of faith. Would you just give up? Or do you ask God to so order your steps that day by day, moment by moment, you're able to do what you need to do? The question is, can you, if somebody comes in with that kind of news and hits you in the gut, what are you going to rely on? Because when life knocks you down, you aren't able to pick yourself up. You get up, but it's the power of the Holy. It is a gift of Jesus Christ that you feel the strength of Jesus lifting you up, because another storm's coming. But if you just dwell on the storm, you never ever understand when the sun comes up. Storms will come, but I promise you the sun will come up if you have enough faith. And as the text talks about, these stumbling blocks, getting knocked down, builds character, it builds perseverance. It means that you have the ability to go through any storm and hold on and hold fast. Are you able to do that? When tragedy comes, when pain comes, are you able to do that? Because if you just dwell on the pain, you'll never see the joy. If you're just concerned about the thorn, you'll never understand the rose. If you're concerned about just how hard the job is, you'll never see the glory of finishing that job. If you understand the gift of hope this morning, it means that you don't hope alone either. The good thing about hope is that there are other people on the journey with you in your village who are still hopeful and still believing and trusting that God will make a way out of no way. When you are knocked down, do you have a testimony or do you run and hide? If we have a testimony, we're able to say that, yes, life did not suit me this day, but I believe tomorrow will be better. And if it is not better, God still has a plan for me. Life is never going to be easy, but it's joyful because I am hopeful. In every situation, everything that happens makes me a better, better person. Everything that happens. One of my classmates about 10 years ago, he and his wife could not have children. And so he started adopting, and one of the great, great, great parents. They're so blessed to have children, and one of those things that happen, they go off on a date, and the children are with a babysitter, and they come home, and the house is ablaze, and five kids and a babysitter perish in a fire. And a community, crazy community, talks about, well, why did they leave them? Or why, you know, did they know all of the things that you can't change? But a small, small Pentecostal church came to the very ground where the fire had happened and said, and prayed and prayed and prayed and said, you can't get through this alone. We know God didn't do it, but we know that God's got his arms around you, and we want to put arms around you and buffer you from the world to say that we don't know why this happened, but life will still get better. Just trust and believe. It's crazy out here right now. And there are times when I'm sure my friend thought about God in a different way for a moment. One of the most watched and best watched scenes on television, in television history, is a scene from West Wing, where Martin Sheen played the president. And in this scene, he has lost his mentor, his school mentor that he called to Washington to be one of his advisors. She gets killed in a car wreck, and the drunk driver walks away. And so he's got all this scar tissue from just dealing with God. And so after the funeral, he makes all the Secret Service agents leave. They have to leave the cathedral where the funeral is, and he has a showdown with God. He said, listen, all I've ever done is serve you, and I love your son, and you took my son away from me early. All I've ever done is wanted to serve your world, and you give me this disease, MS. And this woman I have loved more than my parents, she came to D.C. to help me be a better president, and you let her get killed and let the drunk driver walk away. Then he called God a ruthless, miserable thug. And you could just see. You could see him getting smaller and smaller. Like an ant, you could see his persona. And you could feel the power and the glory of God. And those of us who are primitive in our thinking say, God's going to zap him and split him in two. But what he showed is how small we are compared to the awesomeness of God. And God still loves us in this massive world and still puts his umbrella of love around us and says, it's going to be okay. You'll understand it better by and by. But while you're trying to get that knowledge, I will be with you. While you're struggling to discern this, I will be with you because I love you. I love you. I'm not going to stop loving you. Yes. It doesn't stop. Yes. Even when we can't understand why things happen. Yes. I will admit I've had my turn being mad with God more than one time. But I know that where my strength comes from at the end, I come back because God hadn't gone anywhere. You got to have hope in this world. If you're watching television and watching the political shenanigans, it'll snatch your joy away if you let it. All these crazy things are happening. People will get caught lying, and then they'll say they didn't lie. Don't believe the camera. I don't believe the recording. I didn't say that. And then there are idiots who say, I believe you. All kinds of crazy things are happening. And as my daughter would say, we're allowing people like ex-presidents and other corrupt people to live rent-free in our heads. To live rent-free in our heads. We're spending more time thinking about them than we are Jesus Christ. More attention, more time has been spent on this stuff that we aren't going to change it. Yes, we have to be advocates for change. Yes, we have to march. Yes, we have to fight and struggle for justice. But at the end of the day, God's got this. God is in control. What God directs you to do, you do. What God says do, regardless of what the world says, you do that. But you gotta have hope founded on your faith. Do you have the faith of your mother, your grandmother, and all your ancestors? What do you believe today? What do you believe? And when I look at families in the church, and I think about, we talk about this, we bury some awesome saints in this church. But when you look around, you see the offspring. You see their offspring. And you understand and you're aware that life is going to go on. No matter what. It didn't say the offspring. It didn't say they're going to be perfect. What it did say is they're going to be. They've got that gene in them, that dominant gene that sooner or later has got to surface. And it's got to show you the glory of God because we pass a torch on to somebody else and when our bodies are weary, they'll take the torch. Because that's what life is. I hope my children will serve God. I hope their children will serve God. And at the end of the day, where are we? With our hope and have you persevered through it all? Nobody wants sudden death. Nobody wants to lose a mate. Nobody wants to lose a child. Nobody wants to lose the things you've worked so hard for. But you gotta remember, as long as your heart beats, as long as you got your eyes open, you can regroup. Yes, it can be hard. But if you want to honor the people that you love, the people who have inspired you, the people who have made you whole, if you're going to honor them, you do it by keep on keeping on. You keep on working and you keep on doing. You don't just sit and wait. Amen. You know, there's a saying that some of us are so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. Mm. Just sitting around thinking about walking around going through the gates of heaven and you won't go through the gates of the projects to help somebody, there's something wrong somewhere. We're just dreaming about what it's going to be like down there and we're not trying to make it better down here. We're already in trouble. God calls us to have that hope founded on everything that we have in us, founded on faith, real abiding faith. Faith that helps you understand that the world is going to go on regardless of how crazy we behave and regardless of how crazy we are, the world's going to go on. And even if you, we talked about it this morning, even if you've been betrayed, your heart backstabbed, heart's broken, things have happened to you, if, as long as you're breathing, you can regroup, you can go on. And I promise you that you don't have to go through this storm alone. Have you ever noticed that in your worst times, some friend comes by or calls or does something? Even those of us who claim not to have any friends. When something tragedy strikes, somebody always comes with a hug or a pie or a word of comfort or something, something, because they notice who you are. They notice who you are, and they trust and believe you. They have the faith. You've heard me tell this story. When I graduated from high school, I went back to Chicago to work in an ink plant to raise money for my brother and I, because I made him a promise. If you'll go to college in 2 years, when you graduate, we'll go together. But outside of the ink plant, there's a young lady who sold kosher Vienna hot dogs, the best hot dog in the whole of the world. All seven continents, there's no better hot dog than the Vienna Chicago hot dog. I mean, it's luscious. I could walk now to get one. Good hot dogs. But outside of my plant, every day, can you imagine eating the same thing? I ate two of those hot dogs every day. And Annie was a hot dog lady, and I'd get there, and I have attention deficit disorder, so if I'm standing in line long, I'm just, Roger, what's wrong with you? I know what you want, two hot dogs. She dogged me out for 2 years. And about 3 months before I left, I said, well, Annie, you won't be having any better fuss at me anymore because I'm leaving, going back south, going to college. And she said, for what? You going to college. I don't think it's a brain in the head of yours. And I thought, darn, that's one way to treat somebody. So 2 days before I got ready to leave, I went back to see Annie, because I really loved the little skinny Tara. And I told her, I'm leaving, and she said, well, I got something for you. And I thought, I'm getting free hot dogs today. Thank God. No, she handed me an envelope. Okay. And she said, you better not open this until you get back south. And I was scared of her. I didn't touch it. On the train, on the Illinois Central train from Chicago to Corinth, Mississippi, I'm thinking about opening this thing up. I'm terrified that somehow Annie's watching me. So I get home, and the people pick me up, and it's 30-something miles from Corinth to Savannah, my hometown. Somebody picks me up, and I get home, and I finally open up this envelope, and there are 10 $100 bills in this envelope. And she said, dear hot dog boy, I'm invested in you. Do not be a fool. Do not spend my money on wine, women, and song. Get your education, hot dog boy. I'm not ready for this. This is a child of God who saw something in me over those years, the bandos during hot dogs, who said, I believe in you. I believe that it was her faith, and what she had persevered selling hot dogs, all these crazy people. It was her faith that helped her to see in me something that could be, not what I was then, but what I could be. And when we invest in the people of God, amen, and say, I've invested in you for what you might be tomorrow, not what you are today. When I do that, when I invest in you, I just got to believe in you. And more importantly, you got to believe in yourself, because there will come a time when pain and alienation and all the stuff will come upon you. But you'll always remember Annie, who gave the hot dog boy $1,000. I remember the woman who hugged you at the train station. You'll always remember those who put their faith in you. Because that's what hope causes us to do, believe in one another. I believe in you. You believe in me. At the end of the day, church, it's all right. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me, please? Would you open the doors of the church on this blessed day? God is calling us by the lightning and by the thunder, God is calling us. If there's someone here now who wants to be like Hot Dog Boy, who wants to make themselves a better person, who wants to feel the safety of God, if you can't walk alone, we got many saints who will walk here with you. Just come on down.